Hi guys, welcome to Tech Point Africa podcast. It is a beautiful day in the sometimes beautiful city of Lagos. For once, it's not raining this week, so we are glad about that. And my name is Ogunerem Onyebu. I'll be your host for today. And I have...
Chimgozrim.
Yeah, and Bulu.
Yes, at least he didn't say he's a tech bro. I am not. So that it will not be you, because that's what they used to do. They just call you tech bro, and you know, saying billing will just fall out.
They will not even try that. I mean, look at me now. What? I'm the one that should be billing people.
Okay, let's move on from that. Let's move on. So, recently, there was a new movie released on Netflix called Django. Will you pronounce it correctly?
Yes, very correct. Django, the warrior.
Okay. It was directed by Tokpe Adebayo and Adebayo Tijani. It has actors like Femi Adebayo, Tokpe Adebayo. I'm sure you're probably wondering why we are talking about this right now. Chimgozrim and Bully, we are going to be talking about it.
Still wondering, actually.
Yes. So, Emmanuel, yes, I'm calling you out. If you're watching this, you can see that I'm calling you out. Emmanuel says we should discuss the VFX. So, there's been a lot of criticisms about the VFX going around social media. And we decided to watch the film yesterday. And I think I can certainly agree
that
the VFX wasn't all that.
Well, I am not a VFX specialist, but I think I have watched enough movies in my time to say that the VFX is better than, I mean, it will be in the top three movies with the best VFX in Nigeria.
Top three?
Yes, top three.
Who are the other top two?
My point exactly. So it's probably the best. I just didn't want to...
How many Nigerian movies do you watch in a year?
Not much. But I know for a fact. Okay, not for a fact. But I know that we rarely have Nigerian movies that require that level of VFX.
Do you know what you think?
I know.
Are you sure?
Based on the story, I'll still say top two or top three, because I know some other Nigerian movies that have pretty good VFX. I think we had some in The Second King of Boys. We had some in Brotherhood. Brotherhood was also good. And then we also had some in Anikulapo. So top five.
Yeah, I think we had...
So I will rate it. I'll put it at number three. Because the that particular scene where everyone was frozen, what they call that scene? That scene that was slicing everybody wide.
Agemo, it
was pretty good.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad scene. I can agree with that. And while we're talking about VFX, you can go watch the interview that I did with the guy that did the VFX for Anikulapo. Abi, did I pronounce it well? Sorry to every Yoruba person. I'm not Yoruba. No,
it's correct. It's... Yeah, no, the pronunciations are as simple as that. Anikulapo, just tiny. Those are just little, but it's correct.
Okay, so let's move on to the stories we have for today. First up, we have MTN's South Africa's branch to pay $5.2 million before the second half of the year. Chimgozrim, you are the one talking to us about that. What's happening in South Africa and MTN? Well, I think we have two stories with MTN, but... Let's start with the money they have to pay.
So, first story is that they're going to pay $5.2 million before the end of the year or by the end of the year for unused broadband, basically. So they cut broadband, they're unable to use it, so they are going to pay for that. That's it. The second part is they are receiving an investment, or the fintech, Momo is receiving an investment.
Okay.
I thought they were acquiring. Oh, like they were buying.
Yeah, okay, the minor stake.
Yeah, buying a stake from, which is basically getting an investment.
Yeah.
So what is like the important bits to this story that we actually need to know?
For the broadband story, unused broadband is probably... Because either they didn't have... The reasons are not yet stated, but it could be either the users couldn't use it. You've seen South Africa.
Oh, people actually bought the broadband.
No, like, like MTN, of course.
Okay.
It's MTN. Like, the Spectrum they got.
So does that mean they could not like sell it? Like people did not subscribe?
I suppose.
So
maybe
what,
they didn't have enough customers.
What I think, what I got from the entire story was that, so ICASA, that is South Africa's communication and blah, 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 basically their NCC, so did an auction where they basically auctioned broadband spectrum. Yeah. MTN bought, Airtel, I think Telkom bought, and some other South African telcos bought. So when they bought it, when they auctioned for it, it's like you don't pay immediately. So when they auctioned, they got the bid and everything, but they didn't pay, and they didn't get the spectrum.
They didn't pay and they didn't get it.
So you've not paid now, so you can't use the spectrum that you paid for. That you've not paid for.
Okay.
Are you getting?
So what are they now paying for?
So they are paying now to get the spectrum that they've not used.
Oh. Okay.
Exactly.
Why do I feel confused?
Okay, let's use an everyday item. You go to an auction. They're auctioning maybe artwork.
No.
You
smart shops.
You go to an auction. Let's use Bolu's example now. Yeah. So you have you want to sell auction small chops. You put let's say you had one bidding for the small chops. You bid. You've won the bid.
Okay.
Now when you win the bid, you are supposed to pay.
Oh yes.
Yes. So that you can get your small chops back. But you now decide that you are going to pay 5 months later, so that you can get your small chops 5 months later. So that is basically maybe sort of what, I don't know if they decide not to pay at that point, but it seems they had not paid for the spectrum that they bought, so they could not get it, they could not use it. So that is basically,
so now they are paying for that one that they've not used.
Exactly.
To now use afterwards.
Exactly.
But I think the really interesting part is this MasterCard's investment. I think we're talking about it and realize that MasterCard actually also has investment in Airtel's fintech side as well. I think Airtel Money. So, like, is this a good thing, or because if they start having stake in everybody, right? I mean, and it's a significant amount of stake they're getting, right? Or maybe to me, maybe I'm the one that thinks it's significant. But I feel for some reason all this your fintechs will end up being owned by foreign. You could say they are owned by foreign companies, which is the issues we're having with most of our startups today. So is there an upside to this? Or is there a downside?
Of course.
What's the upside?
They are getting a minority stake. MasterCard comes with operational experience that MTN doesn't have in that space. So they get money to push their operations. They also get, so we don't know exactly how much stake they are getting, but they are definitely getting a minority stake. So, like I said, operational experience, they get the MasterCard, basically get the MasterCard experience.
But what's in it for MasterCard?
What's in it for MasterCard is you are the last. So large parts of Africa are still late to digital payments. You have cases where, I think the payments, about 90% of payments in Nigeria, they are done offline. So when you look at it from the perspective of a player in that space, they're like, that's huge. There's huge potential here.
True.
You go across all the countries that MTN also has a presence in. It's the same situation where they have, we have anywhere from, let's say, 60 to 70, 80% of payments still done in cash. So you could say that, there's a lot of potential. And they also get to make money, really. So it's MasterCard is not they're not a VC, even though they do that, but they're not a VC. So they're not just investing because you feel like throwing money around. So I guess it also shows that despite, for Nigerians, we frequently say that there are too many fintechs. But even with all of that, there's still room for
there's still a gap,
in the space.
Mm. Yeah. So you said we don't know exactly how much stake they got here, and you're saying, and we also said that they also have stake in Airtel Money,
Yep.
So what happens if they suddenly? This is just me speculating here, and it's not going to happen. I'm just speculating. But what if suddenly they decide that okay, they want to increase their stake, and they steadily increase their stake to the point where they become majority shareholders or can take over? Isn't that a competition problem waiting to happen?
So it's a very real possibility.
Yes, it is.
It's a very real possibility. True. But, increasing your stake is a unilateral decision. It's something you say, okay, I want to do. But it has to be ratified by every other shareholder. And considering you're a minority shareholder, of course, there are other ways. I'm not a finance professional. But there are other ways you can slowly increase your stake to the point where people really don't have any choice and to pay attention to you. There's always that. But will it be a competition problem? I'm trying to think of how it could possibly be a competition problem. So, anyway, Visa, MasterCard, they have investments in some of our largest fintechs.
Exactly.
So, InterSwitch, I think Paystack, Flutterwave, like, name any of the large fintechs they have. They have some form of involvement, which... makes sense considering their size. Will it ever become a competition issue? Well, that's where your government has to step in if it ever gets to that point. But then they are not just buying this stake in maybe their Nigerian subsidiary alone, or maybe Airtel's
all over the continent.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. It's possible. I can't say it's not. It's possible.
Okay.
And if it happens, is it really a bad thing?
It's just too much power. I mean, yes. They're already the biggest card schemes in the world, and then they take over your mobile money,
take over your fintechs.
share this money. Let other people
I can look for how to raise money and buy it from them and buy stakes in MTN. That's your assignment. Look for how to raise money either through government support I don't know. Maybe look for another person who can front you the money. Should I look for money?
Don't worry. I'll take that.
Crypto money.
It's
crypto money. Okay, so let's move on to the next story. I think Kingwazun is still going to help us with that. So Jumia has recorded reduction in losses in Nigeria, which is good news, yes. And they might also be unrolling new services in Egypt. So what's happening with that?
Reduced operating losses are no longer a new thing for Jumia. It's something they've been working on, I think, for the last 3-4 quarters, working very hard at ensuring their operating expenses go down. They are losing less money because for a very long time, the popular refrain was, Jumia is losing money. And they're working very hard at doing that as they push for profitability. So it's hardly a new development. But they also lost 1 million customers in the last quarter. They lost a million customers in the last quarter, and they gave a few reasons. The normal story we've been hearing, macroeconomic conditions. So the FX contraction in Nigeria, for example, was one reason they give. In Kenya also, which is one of their markets, Kenya has had, I can't remember the exact numbers, but they've also experienced similar inflation to Nigeria. So it has affected purchasing power, obviously, of consumers, which just means they are less likely to purchase certain items. And it has knock-on effects. So yes, it has led to... there's reduction in operating losses, but there's also a reduction in sales, there's reduction in advertising, there's reduction in practically everything. So, apparently, hand is meeting everybody.
I'm telling you. I particularly feel bad for Jumia because they spent a lot, right, when it comes to advertising. And I think last year, was it Q1 or Q2, they spent $22 million $1 on advertising. They cut it down a lot this year, right?
70%
or yes, so. And it makes sense that, yes, you spent so much then. I believe they acquired a lot of customers as well. But then this year came, and this year came with Iswala, and all the economic troubles, the economic realities. And now after spending that much, and then you now cut spending this time, now that you're not supposed to like be enjoying the fruits of your labor, I don't want to say it.
The African Nigeria governments happened to you.
And I don't some know. I don't know
have,
how I feel.
Some people will have a different opinion to that.
To what I said, right?
Yes. So I've heard people say that, of course, you can blame companies all you want, but...
I'm really not blaming them.
No, no. Yeah, you're not. But like you could... A lot of companies could have actually seen that things were going to get bad. Right? A lot of people say that it was... It's not like it was sudden. It's not a sudden development.
Well, right? I really don't see the way out. For what they do, I don't see the way out.
Of course, it's not like you up and leave. But it's... So, for example, I see you walking in the middle of Third Mainland. I don't need anybody to tell me that you're going to die very soon. So, if I see you die, if someone sees that you are lying on the road... crushed with your brain splattered. Sorry, that was graphic.
You have to be so vivid.
Yeah. But if someone sees you, the person shouldn't be surprised. You were walking in the middle of the road. So if you're preaching in Nigeria, I think in Africa, because since last year we've had it's either inflation in Egypt, Kenya, even South Africa, right? So we were talking about MTN earlier and the unused broadband. So electricity load shedding has forced a lot of people to start rationing the way they use their data, right? So some people are now having to wait up. In fact, poverty as well is making some people to wait up at night night plans to browse. Right? That shows you that the economies across Africa are not...
But here's the thing, yeah. You knew that it was going to get bad, but you didn't know exactly how bad it was going to get. So for example, now with Nigeria... You probably could not guess that they would start the floating naira thing. It was not something that was on our radar. We knew that swap subsidy was coming. Everybody was going to be removed. Everybody knew that it was coming. Everybody knew that. But things like the floating naira, things like how the exchange rate has like.
So what I think a lot of Nigerian businesses did not prepare for was the sky high rate of the dollar. But a lot of them have been clamoring for a unification of the naira. So you hear people say Nigeria defies economics, and others say no, it doesn't defy economics. It is just that you do one thing, but you're expecting. And some people have always wanted this unification of the naira for obvious reasons, because it makes it easier for you to, or it should make it easier get your FX supplies. But really. For Jumia, I think they have like their history that they were probably looking at, and they knew that maybe things like this could happen, that they could lose a lot of money. But I mean, it's not all bad. It's probably going to take them a while to get to profitability, which is what they are pushing for.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while. But yeah, to the second part of that story. They are launching buy now pay later services in Egypt. And why do I say could? Because they haven't said we are doing this tomorrow. They've been working on Jumia Pay and trying to sort of position Jumia Pay as an alternative for their users for I think the last 1 or 2 years now. Mm. And they have according to the report, they have been conducting some trials, building partnerships in Egypt. They have about 10 partnerships with banks and fintechs in Egypt. So the idea is to offer buy now pay later services to third parties through the Jumia Pay app. So they're just going to be like, maybe like a carbon in a way. They are connecting you to these guys. You get the money, they take a cut off it. And I think it's an interesting play that could see them significantly increase Jumia Pay revenues, because Jumia Pay revenues have been dropping. They haven't been promoting some services like airtime recharge, data all of that because they say it costs a lot of money for them to promote those services and then they can't recoup it. So they're trying to promote services that have higher that bring higher economic value to them. Mm-hmm. So by launching Buy Now Pay Later services, I think they could be able to drive significant growth because of course they're starting in Egypt. There's a way, I don't know, Buy Now Pay Later is like loan. Egypt is predominantly Muslim.
Yeah.
So there's, you need to consider all of that. But I think it could help to boost their revenues. And I'm assuming that the trial in Egypt, they'll launch in other markets shortly because that's what they did this Jumia Pay on delivery. So yes, you have Jumia Pay as your payment option, but you can also do pay on delivery, which has been probably the most effective payment method for delivery companies in Nigeria. So they've tried Jumia Pay on delivery in Kenya and they said they recorded some success. Now I'm assuming they're going to be launching in other markets shortly. So yeah, Jumia Pay might be what helps them to just stay alive until other parts of their business picks up. So
not the best to them. I want to ask sometimes, but we want to try as much as well to keep this podcast as short as possible.
I think we still have time. She has not waved
She will soon wave it. So let's just move on so that we don't enter a problem. So I think Bolu is taking this next story. I believe Nairametrics released a, should I call it an expose or a deep dive? What should we call it now?
All of them, article.
Yeah, they published an article story about how loan apps in Nigeria have been forcing their agents to onboard users or give the users that didn't apply for loans. So, Bolu.
Yes. Away. So, yeah, according to the Nairametrics article, loan apps are now forcing people to take loan by force, even when they don't need it.
Mm.
Right. It was a very interesting story, and it was the people working in those companies that were revealing these things, you know, talking about the kind of targets they needed to meet. Right. So what they did was that, okay, they give them targets of, okay, 30 people must borrow money today. Whether they need it or they don't need it. So targets like that, and then they now give them phone numbers, I think about 217, right? And you have to call everyone and make sure that you meet your target. Really weird stuff, right? I think some of those companies, there was Palm Credit,
Express Cash.
There was Express Cash. There was X Cross Cash. There was Easy Buy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I think Palm Credit is Palm Pay, right?
Is it
Palm Pay?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I was wondering, where do they get these phone numbers? Then I'm like, okay, there are sales tools that give you contacts of people you could actually sell to, right? I know for emails, but I don't know for phone numbers.
I mean, people could, so almost every loan app that I know about, you have to impute your phone number.
Mm.
So just for sign up. And sometimes I just sign up to fintech startups or fintech apps for just to do small research. So that's my phone number going around. And a lot of people have it.
Could it also be possible that people who haven't signed up are getting called?
Of course. Someone was about to scam me during NYC. You got to not know from anywhere. Sent me email. Sorry. Text message you. Hey, you've gotten a job as blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think that went around.
I had to call him. So
it's really weird. And that's not the only thing they do. So it's not just forcing you to take loans when you don't need to take loans. They also lie to you about interest rates and things like that. They tell you the interest rate is 8%. And then at the end of the day, if you borrow 100,000 naira, you'll be paying 170,000 naira, which is like 70% interest rate, which is absolutely insane.
Sorry.
You need a minute, right?
No, I don't need a minute. I'm just trying to understand how you went from 100 to 170%. So sorry, people that are watching you probably do math better than me. 8% per what? Per annum, right?
It wasn't stated. Right.
So but that's the problem now.
Yeah, so that's the problem.
Because if it's per annum, then we can easily.
But they are short term loans. So okay. I'm pretty sure it's not an annual.
No, short term loans are done like that, and then there's a, I don't know what it's called, but they will tell you.
Nano loans.
Yeah. And okay. And the thing is, the shorter the loan tenure, the higher the interest rate. Why am I saying exchange rate? But the shorter the loan tenure, the higher. Let's not get sidetracked.
Yeah,
anyway,
but it's still very, yeah, still it's still criminal when you tell me my interest rate is 8%, and then I discover not even 70.
That's like as high as 80k or 100k, and you're paying back 170k.
I know, and I'm thinking, what exactly is the exchange rate? What's the loan tenor? Because that's what determines this. The reason I'm saying it, you've used the loan app, I have used the loan app, and I know what the numbers look like. You could probably borrow 20,000 naira and you're paying maybe 30,000 naira back, 25,000, 30,000 naira back. So if I borrow 80,000 naira and I'm paying maybe 100 plus K, it probably is similar. So that's what I'm asking. What was the loan tenure and what was the interest rate that they offered?
Let me just read, I think, a quote from I think one of the agents said. So he said, EasyBuy sales scripts trains agents to pitch a percentage as low as 8% to customers, whereas customer that applies for 100,000 and chose the repayment tenure of 6 months pays back over 70,000 naira as interest.
I wish you had a loan calculator,
which
for maybe standard
70%. So let's say it's 8% every month. Is 8% every month for 6 months?
Naira. I said you're supposed to pay 8,000 naira of that 100k.
Yes. So if we calculate that over 6 months,
8,000 times six.
Just an assumption.
48k.
Yes. Eh?
48.
So why are they paying 70k?
I think I get the point. Yeah. They are pitching
pitching a particular interest rate and doing something else.
So, two things, yeah. Let's start with the phone numbers that they are getting. I think this has been a problem for I don't know how long. Where you wake up one morning and you realize you have an account with a bank you never stepped into.
Which happened to me recently. Yes. I didn't know who signed me up on PalmPay.
Yeah.
I didn't know who signed me up on Carbon.
They signed you up on Carbon too.
Yeah, I've told you that it's identity theft.
Carbon is possible. I know that I did not sign up on PalmPay.
If you check through your emails, you could go find out. But the truth is, that is not a new thing. We've heard stories like that. But this is also kind of similar to what banks have been accused of in the past, where they give their employees targets. They have to meet these targets. And often these employees have to employ underhanded tactics. Like, maybe, okay, you know what? Gracious, take this form. Share it to everybody in your WhatsApp group. And then you just collect it. You create accounts. Things like this happen. People could get access to phone numbers anyhow.
They basically did that to me during NYSC. Exactly. I had this lady came up to me. I was like, oh, we have this. Can you it was supposed to be a savings kidney. So I'll pay a certain amount every month. By the time I finished paying and I wanted to collect my money, it took 3 months to get my money back. One, two, they took out some part of the money, telling me that I was supposed to pay a certain something that I was not told about when I started. So like, it's just something that they usually do. Like,
I mean, I don't understand why. Is the FCCPC was trying to clamp down.
I'm even wondering why FCCPC has not said anything about this.
So that's where I was going to. Force. When you say force, what is force? Are you cajoling them?
So
because you can't force me to take a loan. So, except you're wiring money into my account.
So there's something that I really found interesting. So apparently there's an automatic loan function on the app.
Okay.
So these agents have access to that this thing. So they can actually turn on a loan for you.
And then there's no way that I can prove that I did not do
yes.
that. Yes. Well, some network providers that will not be named. You guys have tried to be smart with me. You'll be using your phone. The next thing you see is blah, 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 blah. Click yes. And the way the prompts are arranged is on my, in a way that's my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am, if I just want to get it out of the way, and I click it, and my 5 naira. I just want to let people know that you have failed so far and you continue failing for a very long time. But yes, moving on. This is an unethical practice here.
Honestly.
And we keep on talking about this like almost once a month because it's a serious problem in a country like Nigeria where a lot of people need credit and they don't have credible ways of or a lot of credible ways of getting that credit.
True.
Yeah.
It's a very serious problem. And I don't know how it can be solved at once. I don't even think it can be solved at once. But really,
yeah.
It's important that it's solved because someone's life could go south.
And we've actually seen it happen outside Nigeria. I mean, the old 2008 financial crisis in the US was something like this, right? People that you know very well, should not be taking mortgages, right? You try to convince them to. I mean, you convince them, right? We might say you are not guilty of anything, but I mean, if you think about it very well.
It's unethical.
Some people,
it's not even.
Not everybody has this financial acumen, right? But because of. And then the whole economy collapsed because of that. So something is.
Where I even see these things. I don't know how those guys are getting their licenses or whatever it is they are getting that allows them to operate. Because here's the thing, right? You are a business person. You're not the Kine Mafia. You're a business person and you want to make money. If you give me a loan and I cannot pay you back, bro, if you like carry my non-existent family house.
I wish I was very financially savvy, but there's something with debt that helps some people make money.
Mm.
Right? I saw something like that when I was learning about that financial crisis in the US, right? Where it doesn't even matter if those people can pay back or not, but somehow,
is there like a
commission?
Yes, and there's a way they can sell debt again.
Yeah, you
stuff
can sell
like
debt.
All those kind of things. So maybe, but I think it's not the same thing with.
Anyway, I'm very very sure the FCCB has seen that.
And they'll be acting.
You should be at their doors.
Yes.
Yeah.
You not get away.
They've been up and doing.
Hopefully something happens. So before we move on to the next story, so something else caught my attention in that story. So apparently some of these guys decided to protest.
Oh, which guys?
The agents.
Okay.
They decided to protest. And when they tried to they went to protest in the company's headquarters. So they tried to protest. When the company got wind of them trying to protest, they told them they had to make them sign another taking that they would try to keep the peace, blah blah blah, etc. Some people said they are not going to sign the other taking and they went ahead to do their protest. 7 people lost their jobs.
Normal.
I'm not surprised.
So like there's a lot of things wrong in that entire.
Fired people for not even meeting the target. So you can imagine, I'll just turn loan for like 50 people every day. Just to keep my
job. Recycling it. I'll give you 5k today, give you 10k tomorrow.
Nah. You guys should go read the story. There's a lot of things like making people like, so sometimes the target shifts. Today they'll tell you it's 30, next week they'll tell you it's 70.
She has been
waving since. So let's move on to the next story. I don't think we're going to spend so much time on this story. So Bosun Tijani has been confirmed as Minister of Communications and Digital Economy. So Olu, I think we've talked about this.
We've talked about it before. And yes, it was a good thing for the tech ecosystem and stuff like that. He knows a lot, but I mean, he's also still a stranger, you know, when it comes to things like telcos and things like that. But then, I mean, if you look back into history, fresh eyes sometimes can be a good thing, right? And Bosunti Jani as well. From my own perspective, he's a smart guy, he's an intelligent person. I mean, taking that small CC hub in Yaba to becoming like a Pan-African tech hub. So let's see what he will do. I'm wishing him all the best, more grease to his elbow. I hope, what's it called now? I mean, there's a pandemic in that. I mean, when it comes to politics in Nigeria, there's one infection that infects anybody that gets into there. I hope he can stay above those things and, you know, do well for his people.
Yeah, so what I'm really interested in is the kind of policies he's going to bring in and how he's going to like oversee what is going to happen, because there's right of way issues, there's issues with what that
which
tax that they're supposed to pay now.
Not in his control.
What's that tax they're supposed to be? This there's this excise duty that telcos are supposed to pay. So there's a lot going on, and he has
what he will is of the things that you'll be overseeing. So you'll be overseeing NCC, you'll be overseeing NITTA, you'll be overseeing NIPOST. I've never heard of this before, but I'm sure Emmanuel will give us some more insights.
What's that?
Probably next. It's called GBB, Galaxy Backbone.
Okay, those guys.
Yeah,
I don't know that thing.
Yeah, like, satellites. Yeah.
Sounds like something that, like, it sounds like an Israeli government.
Yes. Sure. You also be overseeing your people. Nigerian Communications Satellite Limited. Which,
if you ask me,
I don't know what's going on there. And it's also NIMC. So it's
important.
I mean, it's all tech, but I mean, if you have been in the tech, within the tech ecosystem, you know that there are some things that.
Some people still argue that NICOMSAT should not exist since they're already NASDAQ.
Exactly.
That.
So, I mean, someone like Bosunti Jani that comes from investments, building startups, helping startups grow and things like that. And then he's now looking over, going to space and, you know, amongst things.
You don't need to look over it. I mean, it's not like the previous guys you're looking at. You could decide to focus on just one or two things. Huh?
Well, it's true.
You don't have to. So the way I even look at these things is, don't do everything. Just look
the
for
main things.
What you have. So right of way, the federal government doesn't have any. You can't compel the state government.
Yeah.
But you could tell the state government.
Give them incentives or something.
If you do this, we will help you with this. And maybe it can encourage them. But don't do. Just look for maybe one or two, three things that if you do them. I think one would be that Startup Act, right? Making sure that it's not just another piece of legislation. There's the provision for funding, which is very important. There's a tax rebate that both companies and employees get. Then there is like establishment of hubs, training hubs across the country, which is very important to ensure that our tech development is not confined to Lagos.
Yeah.
So if you do most of what the Startup Act or Startup Bill says it's supposed to do, I think you'll be more than an okay minister, really.
All the best to him.
Yeah, so just as a follow-up, the Kenyan court has banned WorldCoin's activities.
Yes.
Until the investigation is done.
Exactly. So, I mean, we've been talking about WorldCoin. I think this is the third time talking about them again. So, yes, they started paying people to scan their eyes because they want to create, they want to create a new, a new ecosystem.
Yeah, digital, Kenyan exactly. FinTech.
So, Kenya said they started. First African country they started in is Kenya. Kenya suspended them. Kenya say, why are you scanning our people's eyes after you already gave them license? Let us note that. But when people started shouting and this and that, Kenya to now. Well, the court has said they should pause everything for now. And investigations are ongoing. They locked down. Their warehouse was raided. They took all the equipment and documents. So yeah, it's a, how do we say, developing story. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, so again, back to Kenya. They are, well, I don't want to say they are banning TikTok because it's just a petition. Someone sent a petition to the National Assembly that they should ban TikTok, that it is causing problems. It's one dude like that.
I know. Maybe you want to start.
I'm forgetting his name. It's one Kenyan name like that. Yes. He wants them to ban TikTok. But funny enough, the minister, the parliament guy said that no, they should not ban it. They should use TikTok. Etc. I was just like, interesting.
Then that's why they are not doing their job.
They also said, talk about TikTok.
That's true.
They
also said that they should, guys, because it's making money for creators, blah blah blah.
What are you doing there? I beg, ban this.
That is so annoying. Ah, God. However, I thought of that NFC Kenny, that girl, she needs help. Well, let's go on. So, yeah, just as I mentioned, Uber is denying drivers' involvement in attacks in South Africa. This story is weird to me because what they are saying, so a bunch of people reported that Uber drivers attacked them, blah, 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 blah. Uber says that these people were not their drivers. That did the riders check if they're Uber drivers? Did they do all the safety, etc.? So they are basically moving the blame over to the riders and saying that the riders did not do their due diligence.
Can I say something? I was watching TMZ a couple weeks ago on Instagram, and there was this, it seems like a pandemic or a thing that is happening in the US. So Uber eats drivers. You know, you order food, leave it at the door and go. They start entering the house. In one occasion, the guy actually attacked the woman and tried to attack her child. Several allegations like that. And the same thing they are saying in this report is the same thing Uber said there, that the driver is not their driver.
Of course. Interesting. Let's not dwell too much on that. But
you think I wanted to say it might be...
What? Say it. No,
it's very violent.
Okay, so moving on. Safaricom has launched M-Pesa in Ethiopia. It's supposed to help them drive revenue because they're apparently losing money in Ethiopia and it's affecting their group overall revenue.
They have to shut down some parts.
Yeah. So also Safaricom and Airtel increased transaction limits in Kenya.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe that's all we have for you today. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletters. We have
The Workaholic,
handled by currently Precious, but when Nifemi comes back, Nifemi will take over. Then we have our FinTech Today newsletter handled by Emmanuel, your usual host. We have our Equity Merchants, am I right?
Yes.
Handled by Chim Gozrim. And we also have our flagship newsletter, TechPoint Digest, handled by our Able Victoria. So you guys, please subscribe. You'll find the link in the description or wherever else or link in bio. Then also, don't forget, we have an event coming up at Landmark on the 21st of October. 21st of October, Modern Workplace Africa Conference. We're going to talk about everything work, from HR to the gig economy to horrible bosses to how to find talent. There's so much going on.
For those that have jobs, for those that don't, it's the place to be.
Yes, so go and register. You'll find the link. Just type modernworkplaceafricaconference.com and you'll find the link to register. Also, thank you, our YouTube guys, all of you commenting and watching to the end. You guys are doing well.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. And to our social media guys, even though I always feel like you guys don't see this because it's not social media, I'm not going to cut all this part and put in. But yeah, thank you guys for reading, for commenting, for liking, for watching, and all of that. Oh yeah, our audio listeners, thank you for listening as well, which segues into Bolu. How can they find us on?
You can always find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Right. So thank you, everybody, for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.